Welcome back to the Enduring Churches podcast, and today is a very special day in our podcast because, Trent, I'm so glad to have you back with us today. And so today what we thought we would do is just share a little bit about what happened to you, because I know not all of our listeners are completely plugged in and don't maybe know us very well. And so on the day before Thanksgiving, you and I had made plans to get together. We were going to do some planning for our podcast in 2020, and I got weathered out, which proved to be a good thing. So something happened on the other side of that. So why don't you kind of pick it up?
Okay, Alan, I'm glad to be recording this with you and getting to visit with our friends again too. But yeah, Alan and I we had put together a plan to meet in La Junta and get together and just kind of have some face-to-face time to plan for this coming year. We're looking forward to 2020 in our podcast and want to help people more. And so we had all these big plans of getting together and meeting at a restaurant and just hanging out for the day. But like Alan said, we had a storm that hit the Rockies, and that kind of kept us from getting together. But then later that afternoon, I was in the panhandle of Oklahoma with my in-laws and all Dana's family and having a good time. And I was walking from the house to the barn and things, and I just began to have some serious chest pain. And I had had reflux in years past, and so I thought, oh, this is just that again. And, but it just got worse and worse. And so as I began to describe what was going on to my wife, and she's like, no, we're going to the doctor right now. So we went to Elkhart, Kansas, which is, you know, a large metropolis. And and you need to look it up on the map and you'll realize that that's not the case. But anyway, it's great folks. They went to the hospital there and they recognized pretty quickly that there was something going on that they weren't prepared for. And, so I ended up taking a great flight from Elkhart, Kansas to Amarillo, Texas, that late that night. And then I was at the Amarillo Baptist St. Anthony's Hospital, which is a great hospital. The great folks there took very good care of me. And
of course, I was born there, actually.
Oh, were you? That's right. I forgot that. Yeah. And so I thought, okay, well, maybe I need to have a stent or something. They went in and did a heart cath and came back and told my wife that they couldn't do any stents because all the major arteries in my heart were blocked 90 to 95%. And so I had to wait for a few days, and then I had 5 bypass surgery. So that was kind of an emotional roller coaster for me and for my family. But now we're back home and God is good. And so we want to talk to you some today about the things that maybe I've learned and maybe you can learn from this as well.
Well, and you know, I think that's one of the things that is so important for all of us is to remember the learning moments we have in life and to let those moments in life be teachable moments for us. And so, Trent, quintuple bypass surgery is not an everyday occurrence for people. And I'm so grateful that the doctors found that and that your wife was wise enough to get you to a doctor. And we need to listen to our bodies when they start talking to us.
Yeah.
So I think that's very grateful that Dana was smart to do that for you. And I know it wasn't an easy time and it wasn't a fun time because you were, while you awaited surgery, you were basically just stuck with a heart monitor and the inability to do just about anything. And then you had surgery and you physically weren't able to do much of anything. And so you are in a full-blown recovery mode right now.
Yep, that's for sure.
That's one of the reasons we get to do this today.
Yeah.
So you can't do much else.
Oh, man. I tell you what, you and I both, Alan, we're used to going and doing and being out and visiting people and stuff. And man, I was stuck in on one floor of the hospital the week beforehand. And you know, with the heart monitor, I couldn't leave that floor, and I about went nuts. I walked so many miles around the hallways, but then afterwards, yeah, you're right. It takes a while to be getting up and moving around. But I was, gosh, I was so ready to get home. I finally had to confront the doctors and nurses and say, I'm going home. We had to have a come to Jesus meeting.
I don't blame you after watching the Dallas Cowboys game on Thanksgiving in your hospital room. It was probably the best place you could be to actually have watched that particular game.
Yeah,
so you did learn some lessons, and we want to talk about some of those things today. So what's the first thing when you think about what you learned? What did you learn?
Well, there's a lot of things, and some of it was good reminders that, first of all, I want to say that if you ever have chest pain that radiates down your arm and up your neck, you need to get it seen about very quickly. That was my case, and luckily, from what I understand, I didn't actually have a heart attack, but I was so close that they were afraid to let me leave the hospital. But so that was one good reminder, and I would encourage you, if you deal with that, please go and get checked out. Your family and your church family need you to be healthy, so make sure and take care of that. But, you know, as in the last couple of weeks, as I was waiting around and I couldn't go anywhere, and I needed to be reminded that God is the one who's still in control. I think that is so, we get to going about and doing our own things and thinking that we're in charge of our schedule. And in reality, God is the one who's still in control of everything. I don't know, Alan, if you've been reminded of that as well, but I know I was.
Well, Trent, your story and our friendship just means so much. And so, you know, I was frustrated because I'm from Amarillo, still have family there, and yet time of year and everything that's going on, I couldn't come down and pay you a visit, and that was stressful, you know, on the friendship side, right? I wanted to be there to support you and to support Dana, and yet we know, and it's that way when you're distanced from family. There are just times where you have to remember that God's in control. But I also think about the Christmas story, because as I'm preparing this week, I've been using five different words to talk about Christmas, and this week I'm going to talk about exasperation. And the frustration that can come sometimes. And I think about Mary and Joseph doing exactly what God wanted them to do. And yet here they are on this trip to have a census taken. And God, we're obeying you. We're doing everything. And then there's no place for them to stay. You know, there's no family around. They're all alone. And I can't think of a more frustrating situation for a young couple. And to be kind of alone and in that moment of, God, we did what you asked. Where are you in all of this? And then to know that God was sharing with shepherds and preparing wise men to come at a later time and all these other things. But it's a reminder that when we are at the end of ourselves, that God's not at the end of himself, and God is in control. And how did you see that God was in control?
Well, you know, a lot of people, especially our folks from our church family, there was a lot of them that couldn't come see us because we were quite a ways away, you know, 5 hours away. And they wondered why we were in Amarillo. And at first we did too. You know, God, why did you put us in Amarillo to get this taken care of? And but looking back, and, you know, hindsight is usually more 20/20 than foresight. But we began to see that God had placed us in exactly the right spot. Dana has quite a bit of family that lives in the Amarillo area, and so she was going to be well taken care of. And then God had placed us with the right surgeon, the right doctors to be around that understood exactly what the situation was. And so that was, to me, that was a big deal, that Dana was taken care of and our kids were able to be there. Plus, my daughter actually lives in Amarillo, and so I think God was looking out for her. She didn't have to travel and So she was able to be there with Dana right away. And so that was a big exclamation point that God truly is in control. And, you know, just as you were talking about Mary and Joseph, and they have this mental picture, I'm sure, of what the birth of their baby is going to be like. And then it's nothing like the mental picture they have. And just like our mental picture of our Thanksgiving turned out to be nothing like it actually did. So, but God still is working out good in the middle of those things.
I just appreciate you sharing that, because I think that's a good reminder for all of us. We are here doing an Enduring Churches podcast, and we want to develop churches and leaders that endure. And we need to remember constantly that the church is God's church. And if we can remember that, we are going to do a much better job of enduring. And if we can remember that He is ultimately in control, and nothing gets by Him that He's not seen, we will be better in the long run for that. So what else did you learn?
Well, there were several things, Alan. And I had to be reminded, which, yeah, we're pastors. We're supposed to understand and preach that God is in control. I need to be reminded of that. But I also, you know, flying from Elkhart, Kansas, I didn't know exactly what was going on. But I had to be reminded that God is good no matter what, no matter what the circumstances are. For me, that God is good, and I need to trust in His goodness. You know, I began to question, because I'm like you. I was this mental picture of, hey, you know, God's just going to take me, and I'm going to be in heaven, and I don't have to worry about this. But and so I began to question, God, why did you save me? Why do you have me here? And then I also began to question how He saved me. Yeah, I wasn't prepared for the whole being cracked open like an egg thing and having the pain and the recovery part. But God is still good in the midst of all of that. And so as we're in the hospital, especially the emotional time when I found out that I couldn't have stents and I had to have, you know, open heart surgery, that was an emotional it just dashed me, you know, and I wasn't prepared for that. But I got to be with all my family and remind them. They reminded me and I reminded them that God is good. No matter what, no matter what happens to me, God is still good. And so even today, if you're healthy, you're doing great, things are going, God is still good. If things are not going well, maybe things are not good with you health-wise, maybe things are not good with you in your church, then God is good no matter what. We need to be reminded of that.
Yeah, you wrote in our notes, you said it this way, God's big enough to handle our questions. And that really is the essence of the book of Psalms. Not every psalm, of course, is a question, but it deals mm-hmm. with a lot of questions. And we need to remember that God can handle the questions. Now, I think the attitude of the questions does matter, but God can handle the questions that we have. God, I don't understand. God, I don't know why. And I'm sure that even Mary and Joseph, as we think about the Christmas story, I'm sure they had questions. God, we don't understand this one. Why was this your perfect timing? How was this your perfect timing? I don't really see that. But we don't have the privilege of seeing what God sees. And God constantly reminds us that His ways are higher. And His thoughts are deeper. And you had mentioned Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And then it goes on to say, in all our ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct us. And we need to remember that reality that, you know, God can handle our questions, but those questions also need to be undergirded with that reality that God is good and that we do have a sense of trust in Him. And that is hard because, Trent, you and I, you know, we knew each other in college. And I don't think either of us in college were thinking, gee, I wonder what it'd be like if one of us had open heart surgery one day or anything.
We were most concerned about watching Hogan's Heroes in your dorm room at seminary for lunch.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had a lot of other things, and I can remember all these times in my life of begging God not to come back yet, right?
Right. Oh yeah.
Of God, please don't come back before I get married.
Yeah.
And then then we're gonna have a kid. God, please don't come back before my child's born, because we fall so in love with this life and this world and everything that's going on here. And as long as we have breath in our lungs, God wants us here, and we need to serve here, and we need to do all we can do. But when it comes to that time when He is ready for us, we need to remember that that's not a bad thing either.
Oh, no, that's for sure. And, you know, just like in Scripture, it says in the fullness of time, God sent His Son. You know, God had a specific timing, and even though it probably didn't look real great for Mary and Joseph, and sometimes to us, it doesn't look like it's a great time. But God knows way more than we do. And faith in God means that I also have to have faith in His goodness and faith in His timing. If I don't have faith in those things, then I truly don't have faith in God. I'm struggling with that. So that's areas, you know, we can say we have faith in God, but do we have faith that He is good all the time, that He really has the best in store for us? Do we really have faith that He has the best timing and the best methods in store for us as well? So I think it's important for us to keep those things in mind.
Well, and how did you see some of God's hand in your circumstances, some of the things that maybe you didn't expect to see?
Yeah, part of that was being in Amarillo. And years ago, I had been a college minister, BSU director in Amarillo and Odessa and in West Texas. And, you know, God didn't waste that time. It was a good time for me, and I hope for some others too, because I got to reconnect with a lot of former students that are in ministry in West Texas. And, you know, in Amarillo, I had three pastors that are former students of mine that are serving in churches there in Amarillo, and another that is a good friend that's serving just outside of Amarillo. And so, you know, there's all kinds of those times of reconnecting with people and just being reminded about how good God is, letting us be involved in each other's lives, being encouraged by one another. I also got to, I have a hard time. I swear, I tell everybody in my church that I have ADD, even though I've never been diagnosed with that or anything like that. But I have a hard time sitting still. And so I had to sit still. And so I began to get some time to read, and then also to do some planning and evaluating, which sounds like a crazy thing to do when you're facing heart surgery, but it was good. It was good for me to reevaluate and see the things that I've been doing, maybe thinking about things that I should do differently. And so that was good for me. I learned a lot of things, not the way I wanted to learn them, but I learned them.
Well, you said here, God doesn't waste anything. And, you know, He did not waste your time while you were in the hospital, or your resources, or any of those things. Nothing was wasted, especially when we take the opportunity to allow God to speak and work and move in us in those times. And I'm so grateful that you've allowed God to work in your life through all of that. So, you know, you've encouraged people, make sure they take care of their physical health. And as we talk through this, you're reminding them to also take care of their spiritual health. And I know I, for one, am so grateful that God walked with you through this. And I'm so glad that you are here and we're able to do this together. And I know that God has made you a better pastor, a better theologian, a better husband because of this. And it is proof that you do have a heart.
I see. There's people needed to know that. There's been people that have accused me not having a heart. So now I have proof.
Yes, and the Grinch's heart grew through that day.
So. That's right. But yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to what God has, not only for me and my family and my church family, but also, Alan, for you and I to be able to hopefully speak more personally into some lives of fellow believers and pastors and leaders in the days to come too. I'm really excited about that. And I know that God doesn't waste anything. And so the experiences we have, we're going to be able to walk alongside somebody in a better way.
That is true. And we certainly believe that. And so we thank you for joining us. And I know, Trent, you're grateful for all the prayers that were prayed for you from our Enduring Churches podcast listeners. And continue to pray for his recovery. I know you're going to be preaching for the first time since this coming Sunday. And that's just a couple of days before Christmas. And I'm so glad that you get to do that message. It's a fun time to be with your church. And so we are glad for you. And if Trent and I can come alongside you, Trent, who's got more blood pumping through him, he's ready and raring to go. And we are excited to be able to come alongside you and help you out in some way. So if we can do that, please reach out to us. We would love to be able to walk alongside you, walk alongside your church, and help you endure. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch you next week as we talk about 2020.